Canada is hosting the G7 summit, a diplomatic gathering that would presumably be called the G6 if Donald Trump got his wish for the Maple Leaf Nation to become the 51st US state. It could be an awkward meeting between the new Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, and the US President. And it's likely to be tricky for Prime Minister Anthony Albanese as well. This week, the Pentagon announced a review of AUKUS, the controversial nuclear deal between Australia, the US, and the UK. We don't even know at this stage whether Anthony Albanese will get a one-on-one meeting with Donald Trump. Let's talk to the former Foreign Affairs Minister, Bob Carr, who knows a thing or two about international symmetry. Bob, thanks for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Pleasure, Nick.
So much to talk about, Bob. Let's talk about the review of AUKUS, first of all. The Defence Secretary, Richard Marles, tried to play this down this week, but presumably it was intended to send a message to Canberra. What do you think that message was?
Well, I think it confirms US doubts about AUKUS that have surfaced for some time. I noticed that Joe Courtney, a Democrat in Congress who's been a strong supporter of AUKUS, in his last comment on it, referred to abandoning AUKUS, which is already underway. He detected signs of the US abandoning AUKUS already underway. US doubts about AUKUS are nothing new, as James Curran says in the Financial Review today. And the person who set himself up to carry out this review, Elbridge Colby, of course, expressed doubts about AUKUS when he was at his confirmation hearing in the Senate, saying that, it's fine if we can produce the attack submarines in sufficient number, but is the frightening qualification for Australia. But if we can't, it becomes a very difficult problem.
Yeah.
So this over-engineered, colossally expensive commitment by Australia, over-engineered, its grandiosity, its biggest threat to it, is something that's got Americans thinking. I just think our Prime Minister's got to address that up front if he gets a meeting with the US President.
Well, let's talk about that, but let's just dwell for a moment on this Pentagon official, Elbridge Colby. He is heading up the review into AUKUS. He is an AUKUS sceptic. He doesn't think Australia is paying enough for its own defence. This week, he posted a quote on social media from the US Defence Secretary, Pete Hegseth. Hegseth on Tuesday reiterated Trump's call for allies in the Indo-Pacific to increase their defence burden sharing. I mean, presumably that's what the Trump administration is saying to the Albanese government. You've got to cough up more money.
Well, I think, are they saying that? Are they only saying that? Is it a signal that they want us to do more on a broader front for them? That would include that would include some of the things that have surfaced during talks with the US about tariffs. Or is it them paving the way for the harsh reality, they are simply not producing for their own purposes enough of the subs. They need to produce 2.3 or 2.5 per annum. It's stuck at 1.2. It's inconceivable that a US president in 2032 is going to say, sure, we've got enough in our order of battle. We can spare 3 to 5 for Australia. Would they even give us one? And don't forget that the AUKUS deal gives the US president at the time the power to say, indeed Congress insisted on this, the power to say, we can't do it because we haven't got enough for our own needs. So I think our Prime Minister can sit down with the president and say, and go on the offensive and say, Mr. President, all this evidence makes us concerned that even though we're putting $5 billion into US shipyards, at the end of the day, we won't be getting submarines. And, sir, that leaves us without the sovereign submarine capacity we've had since we bought what we call the Oberon class of subs in 1962.
But AUKUS hangs over Anthony Albanese at the moment, Bob Carr, like the sword of Damocles, doesn't it? I mean, it's dangerous to talk tough to a US president because they can sort of pull out of the deal. And where does that leave Australia?
Well, Nick, one way of approaching that is to say, what would the Australian people like our Prime Minister to do? And the polling evidence is pretty damn clear. Polling by three separate organisations suggests that Australians want to see more independence up against the United States, led by Donald Trump. Indeed, the figure in one poll was that 54% of Australians in May wanted Australia to show more independence. It had risen from 44 to 54 in the space of 2 months. So if Anthony Albanese is saying to the president, we want clarity about your AUKUS plans, then instead of being craven and apologetic, he is saying something that the Australian people would say of, this is our Prime Minister representing Australia's interests. And right now, Australians are imbued with a deep-seated concern about this president and about his danger to the world. It's striking to me that in another poll, a majority of Australians were saying that they've got more concern about Trump than they have about Putin or Xi Jinping. This is the biggest collapse in public support for America and an American presidency that we've ever witnessed. Doubts about George W. Bush didn't come close to this wholesale loss of confidence in America and its leadership.
Now, Donald Trump often looks at diplomatic negotiations like a business deal. He often talks about them as if it's a poker game. Who's got the cards? Bob Carr, what sort of cards has Australia got here to play? What sort of leverage has Australia got?
Well, during talks on trade, we imagine that America would be struck by what we've got to offer on critical minerals. In fact, America wasn't impressed by what we had to offer on that. If we start talking, if we give too much emphasis to attempts to wind back our tariff treatment, and America's not treating us much different from the way it's treating other friends and partners, we'll find that Americans simply mount their demands, do away with subsidy for pharmaceutical benefits, do away with biosecurity arrangements because you've been locking out too much American beef on too little evidence. It's not something that's useful for us. I think when it comes to defence and security, we say to them, bear in mind, we've made ourselves a nuclear target by hosting B-52s in northern Australia, by, in general, militarising Australia's north, trying to sneak by without sharing what we've actually done with the Australian people. And, Mr. President, we are a serious ally. You've got communications facilities on our soil that give you half an hour's notice of any missile headed to you out of Eurasia. We're a serious ally. We will continue to be a serious ally, but we're entitled to say to you, sir, are you serious about a commitment to deliver us submarines, or are we going to be left in the 2030s having to retire our Collins-class subs? I think 6 of them left. They're going to be retired. And without Virginia-class, having no sovereign submarine capacity. What he will say is, that's okay, don't worry, we'll simply rotate more of our Virginia class through your ports. Another colossal loss of sovereignty for this country.
There are some people, Bob Carr, who think it would be rather good if the Trump administration carried out this review into AUKUS and decided, you know what, this isn't a deal for us. We're going to pull out. Australia, you can figure out how to get submarines to protect your country. Where are you on that? That it would help Australia right now in some ways for America to terminate the deal?
Yes, I think a mutually satisfactory withdrawal from this is something to be contemplated. America is tending to the view that supplying subs to Australia, given their difficulty in lifting their own production schedules, is something that they're going to have to do. They're going to have to withdraw from this in the early 2030s, and indeed the US president, under the agreement, has got the obligation to do that. I think both sides opting to withdraw, I noticed a very interesting suggestion from Michael Shoebridge, formerly from ASPE, in the Financial Review this week, saying that a focus on B-21 bombers with their long-range strike capacity would be an appropriate landing place for Australia as an alternative to the pursuit of, again, what I called what I've always called an over-engineered and grandiose scheme with submarines. At least Shoebridge has come up with an alternative option, and it might be a landing place, given that the submarine deal is falling over and was shockingly conceived in the first place by people around the Morrison administration.
On ABC Radio National, I'm speaking with Bob Carr, Australia's former Foreign Affairs Minister, and we are previewing the upcoming G7 summit in Canada and the possibility of a meeting between Anthony Albanese and Donald Trump. Bob Carr, I'm fascinated by the mechanics of these summits. How did you go about getting a meeting with a US president? I mean, presumably you think that is pretty much a kind of a formality, but on this occasion it doesn't seem to be.
No, and they're very structured forums, most of the work having been done by diplomats. Most of all the wording of the communique already settled. There'd be work now on a communique that accommodates what's happened on Iran. It leaves only a little bit, the very tip of the iceberg, to be resolved in last-minute negotiations that might involve the leader. Essentially, this is work done by committees, working groups, by the Sherpas in advance of the actual meeting.
And summitry in the age of Donald Trump. Briefly, Bob, your thoughts on how the diplomatic scene has changed since the Trump restoration. Canada has become more of a player. Britain has moved closer to Europe. Give us a sense of the sort of global power shifts, because G7 summits aren't only great people watching, they're great power watching.
I don't think we ever contemplated that the American withdrawal from what used to be called, now could only be called jokingly, a rules-based order, would be so swift and so comprehensive. We look to America in the absence of a powerful United Nations. We look to America, for example, to negotiate, to lead negotiations towards what had been a very successful comprehensive international agreement, the formal name, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that had Iran agreeing not to proceed the enrichment of its uranium. It was a triumph of American diplomacy. And in the absence of anything approximating world government, we look to America to develop those rules, lead the way in getting them, in nailing them down, and then enforcing them. Trump tore up that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action in 2018, even though American security agencies had given evidence to Congress that Iran was adhering to it. That was a foretaste of this wholesale withdrawal from world order, negotiated rules that has occurred under this president. Never imagined. I doubt if anyone imagined that this retreat of America from its own post-1945 value system would be so radical.
Bob Carr,
so concentrated.
A keen student of history, a former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister. Thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
My pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.